The reading is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, to me, the very least of all saints, there was given this grace to announce among the Gentiles the good tidings of the unfathomable riches of Christ, to enlighten all men as to what is the dispensation of the mystery which has been hidden from eternity in God, who created all things in order that through the church there might be made known the principalities and the powers in heaven, the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we have assurance and confident access to God through faith in him. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know Christ's love which surpasses all knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, the Jews, since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a solemn day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers opened up his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who saw it has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you may also believe. For these things came to pass that Scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall you break. And again another Scripture, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In this time of year, every year, it seems like the birds are attracted to the church. They like to fly up into the eaves. They make the nests there. They build the nests, and throughout the summer, they're there, very solicitous, very caring in their nests. And sometimes it's always interesting to watch them. Especially at the end of the year when the little fledglings are ready to fly. The parent birds are trying to get them to fly. They fly up, they fly out to a branch nearby or something, and they fly back, singing all the time, trying to encourage the little birds to fly. You know, this image of the birds was used by Moses in the Old Testament. He compares that to God, when God rescues and cares for the Israelites, when he rescues them from Pharaoh. He says, this is in Deuteronomy, as the eagle enticing her young to fly and hovering over them, God spread his wings and has taken Israel and carried him on his shoulders. This is a beautiful image of the love and the care that God has for us. One of the difficulties, though, in the Old Testament, is that we're speaking of God as Spirit, and it is so difficult to imagine that. We have no real experience in that. And so in the Old Testament, we have all these images, various images of God. Of course, in the New Testament, our Lord comes. He comes as true man. He is like us in all things but sin. And our Lord in the New Testament uses this similar analogy, the care of a bird, of a mother bird, or for the chicks, when he says, laments over Jerusalem. And he says, Jerusalem, how I had wanted to bring you under my wings, to shield you. How I have wanted to do that. He uses that same analogy, the care which, of course, he put into his creation of the bird for its offspring. So that is the care that God has for us, but so much more. It is an analogy, and what God has for us is so much greater than that. God has a great love for us. You know, love is a difficult thing to talk about. It's very difficult to define. One definition, and there's always a defect in any definition, is to say love is to want good things for the other person. But not just good things, but to not just want them, but to actually work to give them the good thing or good things. And so we see this with parents wanting to give good to their children. And we see this between spouses. They love each other and they want the good for the other. Between friends, it's the same thing. And this is also God for us. God created us to give us the good. But not just any good, but he wants to give us the best. And that is, he wants to give us himself. This is the great mystery, one of the great mysteries of our faith, is that in heaven we will receive the beatific vision. We will be able to see God spiritually. How that happens, what that is a mystery for us now. God wants to give us his very being. And he comes in the flesh as true man, like us in all things but sin, in order to teach us how to do that. As the bird is trying to teach its offspring to fly, so Christ comes to teach us how to love. He's revealed the mystery of his Sacred Heart to saints, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and other saints. He has held out his heart, said, "Behold the heart that so loves men, and yet receives only coldness and indifference." He's saying that not about the people on the other side of the door, the people outside in the world, but he's saying that about us inside the church, us here, that oftentimes we just give him coldness and indifference. He has loved us to the end. He has shown us how to love. He's crucified for us, for each one of us. That is his love for us. You know, we talk about heart and the Sacred Heart, and we forget that this is actually a biblical image. Every February, you hear about St. Valentine's Day, and you see all these hearts in our society, and we forget. This is a biblical image. The heart is the center of our being. It is the seat of the will. It is where the love of us resides. You know, again, Moses uses this. He's quoting God in the commandment. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, and your whole soul." Of course, our Lord again quotes this. But we have to remember that the idea of the heart, the image of the heart, is biblical. And all throughout Scripture we will find that, the heart. And our Lord shows it to us, his heart, his great love for us. Pope Pius XII, when writing on the Sacred Heart, he says that love that Christ has for us, which is symbolized in the Sacred Heart, is three different loves he has. The first is the most mysterious. That's the divine love between the persons, between the Father and the Son, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, within the inner life of the Trinity. That is most mysterious, and it is the most elevated. But he says also that love in the Trinity is then poured out into the humanity of Christ. And that is the second love that is represented by the heart. And then the third is Christ loving with his entire human nature for us. These are the three loves that are symbolized by the Sacred Heart. He wants to give us the best. He wants to give us himself. You know, last week, Father spoke on Corpus Christi, and he mentioned about the Eucharistic miracle at Lanciano. This was a miracle that happened over 1,000 years ago where the host changed into flesh. And it is still there. And you can go to Lanciano in Italy and you can look upon, you can gaze upon that miraculous host. You can be 18 inches away from it. They have stairs that go up. There's bulletproof glass and you can gaze upon it. And in 1970, a group of scientists analyzed it, that flesh. And they found that not only is it human flesh, but it is flesh of a human heart. That God, that Christ, when he wanted to perform that miracle, didn't just change it into any part of his being, any part of, I guess I should say, his humanity. But he changed it into his heart. This is for us to meditate on. He wants to give us everything. He wants to give us his center of his being. We will receive that in heaven, and we receive that in the Blessed Sacrament. Christ, truly, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the host. He brings it, he gives it to us. And so it is fitting today that these children who have studied all year long would receive their first communion on this day, on this at this Mass, the Mass of the Sacred Heart. For it is the love of God who wants to give us the best and give these souls the best. Give them everything. He cannot give us more. He loves us and wants us to be united to him. So let us, during this month of the Sacred Heart, specially look to the Sacred Heart. Let us pray to him, pray to the heart, and ask our Lord to help us. Help us to understand, help us to love him more. Help us to make our hearts to be more like his. Remember, Christ wants to gather us under his wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks. So also Christ wants us to be united to him, to be close to him, to be protected by him. So during this Mass, let us pray for these children who for the first time will be united to Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. And let us then pray for ourselves, that our hearts would be like his. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.